Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Come and join us for our 9 a.m. Christmas morning service to be able to come together to celebrate in this way. So it's great to have you with us. Great to have visitors with us. So welcome to this Gunga Island Salvos. And it's good to join together. I don't know about you, but I hope you had a nice early start. We had a 5 o'clock wake-up call this morning. So it's going to be a long day, but that's what Christmas is all about, hey? Getting up, getting into it, and then, But this morning we come and we take the moment just to pause, don't we? To celebrate and to really relive the true meaning for Christmas for us each. We're going to have the Bible reading, actually.
That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign: you will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
So I just want to share with you just briefly this morning, over the next hour or so that we're together. That's a joke, by the way. just about this theme of new beginnings. You know, this story when Jesus broke through and started a new beginning. One of the things we do, or will do in the next week, is welcoming the new year. Why do we welcome in the new year? Why do we use that as another time of celebration? Like this time just seems to be celebration after celebration, doesn't it, really? Which involves food, people around, that type of things. But why is it that we recognise such an event in time? Because it's like the start of something new, the hope of a new year, doesn't it? We think about what's that going to bring? What's that going to take away? It's a new beginning, an opportunity to think about weight loss or changing lifestyles or situations of New Year's resolutions. But it's the time for something new. So you might think today it's a little bit strange that I'm kicking off, you know, the morning with New Year's when we're not even there yet. Let's get through Christmas first, right? That's what we're all thinking, maybe. But instead, it really encapsulates the theme of a new beginning. But instead of being this magical change of the year being from 2022 to 2023, the story we come to celebrate is the one that really, really changed time, the trajectory of time back some 2,000 years ago. One that not only reset our counting of years, but where God intervened within humanity, when he really stepped down and intervened. Like one of the favourite songs that we sing here occasionally, it says that you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. That's what God did. He stepped through. He didn't want heaven without us. And it's here we find that God interrupts the story to bring about a new beginning. Where God interrupts the story to bring about a new beginning. Now, interruptions. I don't really like interruptions that take place. You can interrupt me when I preach. I don't mind doing that. I like interaction. But some of the interruptions that we've had this last week have not been welcomed. As you'd know, three of our family members aren't here today because they're home unwell with COVID. Thank you very much. And suddenly what we thought we were doing suddenly changed to something else and changed to something else. And sometimes those interruptions can be quite inconvenient, can't they? When someone calls you up and suddenly your circumstances change for that day. When suddenly you're interrupted for what you planned to take place. God interrupts the story to bring about a new beginning. Do you find it ironic that there is so much chaos that happens or takes place in the birth of Jesus, particularly when you break it down? You think about Zechariah, who was doing his temple duties, was silenced. Elizabeth's unborn child leaped for joy and was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, came to visit. Mary got a positive COVID test result. No, she didn't. She got a positive pregnancy test result, and suddenly she found out to be pregnant. Joseph found out that her fiancé was pregnant, but he wasn't the father. The shepherds were interrupted out in the field, like with this host of angels that just rock up and spoil their night. Interruption after interruption. The magi, the wise from the east, were minding their own business following the star, but they come to worship the Messiah. The world had been changed for a long time since God intervened and chose the right precise time in history to reveal himself through the life of Jesus. He chose that specific time because he had it in mind, and he puzzled all these interruptions together to reveal to us the Messiah. God interrupts lives to save them. He invites people for a story that was headed towards death into a redemption story to bring about new beginnings. Throughout the Old Testament, you've got people like King David, Abraham, and through to the new life of Jesus, where people's lives were interrupted. If you look through the New Testament, you hear like the women at the well, the calling of Matthew away from his life, all to follow Jesus, all to get on that pathway. And when we move to Paul, a conversion story from a murderer into a story of redemption, a story called to follow after him. And if birth naturally occurs, it happens whenever, and generally when the mother least expects it. You can't schedule it in, no matter how advanced technology and medicine has become. When it's time to bring about new life, it happens by itself. And yet because the life it brings, we rejoice and welcome it despite the interruptions. But God interrupted the story to bring about a new beginning. God's announcement of the new beginning was loud and joyous. It wasn't much of a silent night, as we sing about, the quiet baby asleep in the manger. Come on, we know that babies aren't like that. Sometimes when they're first born, they're a bit shell-shocked as they enter into the world, but it doesn't stay like that. I kind of always smile when we read those lyrics, don't we? And we go, this cute little baby, and Mary and Joseph, and everyone's gathered around the nativity scene, looking over the child that's getting stuck with straw in its side. I don't think it was going to be quiet at all, but loud and joyous. The first couple of chapters of Luke are like a musical. Mary sings a song, Zechariah prophesies, tells of the things to come, the skies are split open in the middle of the night, and the angels perform a deafening roar of praise. All this stuff takes place. God's peace doesn't necessarily mean that there is quiet and stillness. We think about peace, don't we? And we think about quietness and stillness, but it's quite often not that at all. But rather, in tradition, Advent joy is the next step after peace. It's the thing that comes next. Heavenly peace produces praise and worship, which often leads to noise. And when the psalm says, "Be still and know that I am God," the next line says, "And I will exult without interrupting." The Apostle John tells us that if he had to write down everything that Jesus did over his 3 years, the books could not contain the stories. We only get a little snippet of God's announcement of the new beginning that was joyous and loud. And then we move on. The promise was fulfilled of a new beginning. And aren't we glad that the story doesn't stop with the Old Testament? We'd still be waiting to hear or for God to intervene. But we read in Scripture that many times God intervened in humanity and corrected itself for a bit and followed after him, but then did its own thing. Quite time and time again, people would be drawn to God, he would intervene, they'd live a particular way, then they'd do their own thing. But despite humanity's failures, God still uses the circumstances. He still uses the situations. The genealogies of Jesus are fulfilled with people who had had some serious failings. You think about David and Bathsheba, for example. But God kept his promise. He worked through, despite the flawed individuals, the broken history, to bring about his redemptive story. We read in Isaiah 9:6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." But God's promises endure because, thank goodness, that they don't rely on us. The promises are from God. His promises will come to pass despite our abilities, our flawlessness, our flaws, but it's because of him that creates this new beginning. But the best part about this story of all, this new beginning, is good news for everyone. It's good news for us each. Why the shepherds in the field and not the high priest at the temple, we'll never know. Why that he was born in a manger and not in a palace? And why was he become a refugee straight and have to flee his birthplace soon after his birth? But the central point is that God's news was for everyone, for us each. The rich, the poor, the Jew, the Gentile, the outcast, the unwell, the unclean. God's concern was for the human race and not just one particular person. But God demonstrated time and time again that his great concern was for everyone, as we are all made in his image. We see this play out in the Christmas story. The shepherds around Bethlehem were poor and Jewish. They went and saw what this was all about, and their response was to worship him. The Magi were educated, wealthy Gentiles. They came to worship him. In this, we see even at his birthplace, this community of believers that this message was for everyone. And we can read it now. But we also look that this new beginning was God's heart for community, for his community. God kept bringing people together through the Christmas story. Gabriel tells Mary to go visit Elizabeth. The same angel won't let Joseph leave Mary and isolate her by putting her away quietly. God sends the shepherds to the manger, the Magi to the house, and Simon and Anna as prophets of the day that Jesus was presented to be circumcised. God continually draws people around Jesus in this story. And there's a wealth of different stories that all come together for different purposes. But the Christmas story brings people together, friends, family. But we also do spare a thought for those that also brings division through distance, estranged relationships, separation, and the list can go on. But similar to the Christmas story, it brought people together and also created conflict with others. The difference being that Jesus was right at the center of the story. He brought people around them. Last Sunday, for those that were here, we had our community lunch and shared together around tables. It was a great experience. There was some 70-odd people that were here and sharing together. Some were here, some were friends, some were community members, but more than anything, we came together and we sat and shared around tables together in community. This week, while we were in the office, a couple come in and they just wanted to drop by, and they were just sharing the great time they had. The memorable moments where sharing around tables with good food and with good conversation and the fun that they had together. And just hearing their heart as they shared about their experience, their time together around tables, it's just like nothing we've experienced before, to have that real sense of a community, a table to be together. It made me think that the community of faith, or as the Bible describes it, the kingdom, kind of reflects that. God's people joining together, which isn't now and here, but isn't complete until eternity. But we get experiences like this where we get to experience what that's like. Events like lunch, coming together today to worship and celebrate the Christmas, can be a reflection of what eternity will be like. God's design for us to live in community together. His heart that we will be part of his community, that no one misses out. That no one misses out. And it all began with that story of the new beginning in Bethlehem. Jesus repeated the story throughout his time on earth, the one of redemption that is for all. He would turn the social norms. He'd ate with the cheaters. He touched the unclean to heal them. He met with the adulterers in the heat of the day. He empowered people to go and build on the community of faith. Why? So that no one could miss out. No one could miss out on that experience that we get to share a little bit of now here, but also prepare us for what's ahead into eternity. And it all started with the story of a new beginning. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful story of a new beginning. We thank you for the joy that was in the moment that you were born, the moment that you stepped down from heaven and became part of our story here on earth. And as we celebrate today, Father, we do think of those that are hurting, those that have experienced a Christmas that's going to be different to previous Christmases. And we just ask that you surround them with your love, your care, and just be near them at this day. But Lord, today we just thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the love that you have for us, the love that you shared with us, and the love that you continually share for us in preparing us for eternity. So go with us today as we leave this place. Go as we get to share in whatever we do. But may we remember the gift that you gave us through your son, Jesus. We pray. Amen. I just want to leave with this final benediction as we head out. And I just want to say thank you for joining us Christmas morning here. I hope you have a really fantastic day, whatever your plans may be. But let me leave you with these words. May you be filled with the wonder of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the determination of the Magi, and the peace of the Christ child. Almighty God, Father and Son, Holy Spirit, bless you now and forevermore. Amen. And amen. Bless you each. Have a great Christmas together.